Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on AFR. American Family Radio. If you want to watch the show or listen on the internet, go to Facebook or YouTube, type in Today's Issues, and you can watch the show live there. We have podcast for all our programs here on American Family Radio at AFR.net. AFR.net, a podcast, so you can listen anytime you want to. Hey, real quick, we're going back to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and then a separate tour of Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown in 2019. We've been doing this for many years now, and these tours are called Spiritual Heritage Tours, and they fill up several months in advance. So that's why I'm telling you now, we have a June and a September tour lineup. So if you want to, if that's something that interests you, you want to look at the itinerary and the price and what we're going to be doing and what you get for your money, so to speak, just go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. We're going in June and September. Again, there's two different tours. You can do both, or you can do, you know, one or the other. It's up to you. But we do start on a Sunday evening in Washington, and we go eat dinner in Arlington, and then we drive down to Williamsburg, about a 2.5 hour drive, and then we do Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. And on Wednesday, and that includes going to the taverns there, the world famous taverns, and eating dinner in a colonial style experience. So it's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of learning as well taking place. And then we come back to D.C. and do our nation's capital, and we go to Mount Vernon, the home of George Washington. So again, spiritualheritagetours.com. Go there if you want to take a vacation with a purpose this year and you want to join other listeners to AFR on these tours, check it out. Steve Jordahl, good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim. As long as you're in Washington, yeah, you're going to clean up some of the mess. You take
the
them,
swamp?
Do you take them by the swamp?
I take my swamp boots.
You do?
Do a little gator hunting in the swamp?
They could use some cleanup there in Washington. As long as you're there, why don't you
They got a guy named Trump out there who's doing a pretty good job of it right now, I think.
Trump can't do it, nobody can.
Right, the Trump machine. All right, what do you got, Steve?
Let's start in Phoenix, Arizona. We have a group of two women.
A group?
Well,
two women now qualifies
a business.
As a group.
Two women is two
women. Fake news, Steve.
Yeah, there you go. There's a group called a business called Brush and Nib, and they are Christian artists. They do calligraphy and invitations and artwork for weddings.
Thus, nib.
Nib.
Pen nib.
The pen nib or the brush for the art. And they have preemptively sued the state of Arizona to avoid being the next Jack Phillips. They sued the state and said, we don't want to be the next person that is told to do a same-sex wedding when it violates our faith. In fact, I want you to listen here to... this is Joanna Duca, and she is followed by Kristen Wagoner, who's the ADF attorney that handled the Jack Phillips case. And this is what they said this morning on Fox and Friends.
We have a love and a passion for art and weddings, and there's such a beautiful picture in marriage of Christ and his love for the church. And, you know, we were told growing up that we could live authentically to who we are, and we could be whatever we wanted to be. So that's what we were trying to do. And we brought this case because we believe that artists should be able to be free to create in accordance with their beliefs.
We got to remember that in terms of pre-enforcement challenges, this has been used in the civil rights era many, many times because Americans shouldn't have to wait to be thrown in jail before they can challenge an unjust law.
The news today is that the Arizona Supreme Court is going to take their case.
Well, now, will the Supreme Court ruling, it was very narrow in the Jack Phillips case, Masterpiece Cake Shop case. What's the talk in terms of whether that will have any impact on their challenge that is now going to be before the Arizona State Supreme Court.
You'd probably want to check with Abe about this, but my understanding is that it would be on point. The Jack Phillips case would be on point. But the Jack Phillips case, I don't know that you some would say it's not so narrowly constructed as that it deals with one state and the state issues. So just because these commissions are set up across the country, these civil rights commissions, like the one that Jack Phillips ran into, and by the way, the one that Jack Phillips is up against again. So obviously the Supreme Court can say something, but the states under the federalism jurisdiction say that they can regulate this any way they want. So
right.
It's another challenge. It should be
a couple of brave ladies anyway.
Yeah.
And this is going forward, this is going to be an issue that Christians are going to have to deal with. And they're going to have to do it, like you said, probably state by state, unless the Supreme Court issues a broad ruling that applies nationwide.
Right. And so we've been following Brush and Nib for a while. There's the florist up in Oregon, Baronelle Stutzman, or Washington, one of the northwest states. And again, like you said, Jack Phillips is going against the commission for a second time. So it is something that we at American Family News are going to be keeping an eye out for sure.
Okay.
We've been talking about John Chow, the missionary that was killed when he went to visit the island to meet the Sentinel people, the Sentinelese. And there's been a debate, and it's been ongoing every time that either we talk about it here on the air or even if I'm talking about it with friends at church or whatever, everybody says, was it wise or, you know, was he stupid to do this? And we were learning a little bit more about the background. I don't have as much knowledge about it as I would like, and I'm going to be looking into it a little bit more. But what we're finding out now is that Chow, the missionary, spent years training and traveling to the north remote Sentinel Island on a mission to convert its population to Christianity. He had previously visited a couple of other islands that had similar type cultures, and prior to joining the All Nations Missionary last year, he had been trained in linguistics and cultural anthropology in addition to missionary training and coaching offered through the program at All Nations. The head of All Nations, her name is Miss... I had it here. But anyway, the head of All Nations, the sending agency, says that she believes he was well prepared for the mission. So he didn't get up one morning and decide that he wanted to go convert the North Sentinelese and start making his way there. He prepared literally for years.
How do you prepare for that?
Well, you do linguistic training. You do cultural anthropology. You take classes. All missionaries.
It don't work if they're throwing a spear at you when you walk up.
Well, there's cultural anthropology would probably find a way to deal with that. It might be. Don't go. I'm not saying that it was wise. And again, I don't have all the answers. I don't know if this was the specific mission he was sent on by All Nations or whether they just facilitated the training. But he did attempt as best he could to train, and the missions organization thought he was well prepared to go.
So were they right? I don't mean to sound like a legitimate question. I sound like a smart aleck. I understand that, but somebody's got to ask these questions. They're burying him, right? Or did he even come back?
They haven't been able to recover
the body. Okay, I'm just saying that it is the job of a mission sending agency to protect their missionaries from being killed as best they can.
I would think.
Right?
Yes.
That's why mission any responsible missions agency, if you ask them on this program, they would say that's true. That's right.
Right.
We want the safety of our missionaries is always on our mind. And I'm just but then again, now if this gentleman what was his name, Chow?
His name was John Chow.
If he had it in his mind, you know, that God's sending me to these people, live or die. And I don't know. Maybe he's thought the Lord sent him to do that, and he knew he would, he may die day one, hour one, minute one, but that it would, that would be some kind of a testimony to these people, in a way that they would be reached for Christ down the road. That's, that's possible as well. But I'm, if you just look at it on the surface, from what happened to this fella, it looks like it was not very smart on his part.
Because to your earlier point, you're saying, well, how does all this training help if you can't get past the arrows? You got to be able to get past the arrows.
That's the question to me. You got
to
answer.
Able to engage.
That's the question to me. If you're a, if you're a missionary going into a place like this, and granted, this is rare. A remote area with people who are not civilized and don't even have any contact with the outside world, then the question one I would have is, how do you prevent being speared or stoned or beheaded when you walk up to say hello? And I'm going to need an answer.
Right.
From, before you go.
Yes, I'm going to need an answer from my missionary, if I'm a missions agency, before I go to the, well, I've, let's go on to the second part here. You know, what songs do we sing around the campfire, and do we, what?
How do we translate what if they, the Bible?
What if they can't read?
Yeah. Right.
What if they can't read, which they probably can't. Anyway,
I read earlier in the week now that there was some question about whether or not John was his name, John Allen Chow.
Yes.
That whether or not he was actually dead. They showed he apparently someone saw his body being dragged off. Do they know for a fact? I guess there's no way to know right now because...
I avoided bringing that in to the show because, to me, I think that's the wishful thinking of his family.
Family.
That's where that thought is coming from, that maybe he's not dead because they have no proof. They
right.
can't go in and get the body. Maybe, what if he was just injured? And a family will latch onto any
sure.
bit of hope. And I.
Where did this take place again? In India?
It's
off
the coast of India. It's actually closer to Thailand, but it's in Indian territory. It's India protects the island.
It's tragic. It's sad. And the young man had a zeal for his faith that is admirable.
Right.
And so we can all learn from that, I guess you could say.
I guess so, yeah.
Next story, Steve.
Do you remember back in 2017, the government shut down an online webpage called Backpage.com, and they shut it down because...
What government?
The U.S. government, the Fed, the FBI, because they were trafficking. They were putting ads up for prostitution ads.
Okay.
And that is illegal, so they... tried to get them to stop and remove the ads, and the guy wouldn't, who owned Backpage.com, and so they shut the site down. The thinking was that without that resource, that it would keep the crime of prostitution. It would lower the rates. You can't find this place online, and therefore you're not going to get as many trafficking of women and such. Well, what they're finding is. They had, at the time they shut it down, there were about 133,000 ads a day on Backpage.com. Backpage is a little bit like Craigslist, where you go and you can find your city. If you go on Craigslist, you want to buy a pool table, you go and you find, we would find Mississippi, we would find the Tupelo area, and then you could see the ads there. So there, literally, it was a conglomeration of.
So you just explained. You just explained to our listeners
why
how
they get
how they can find a prostitute in their area.
Right, and that's also why you can.
You don't see what I'm saying.
No. Yeah. They can't.
Okay.
They can't. I'm saying they looked. It looked a lot like Craigslist. Craigslist does not do this, but Backpage.com did. Backpage.com is shut
down.
Is
now defunct. Okay, good.
I wanted
Thank
to give
you.
A picture of All how, right. to my mind, how can a website manage 133,000 a day of these ads? Because it was a massive every area. So what they found, though, was that now independent little websites have come up where they've taken over this business, and now they are looking at 146,000 online sex ads posted per day in the U.S. And so now you have more ads than you had back when Backpage.com was up. So is it a good idea to cut the head off the Hydra and hope it dies and doesn't sprout 1,000 more little heads? It's a question
that's
that
a, that's a Dr. Seuss poem right there. You know, and I remember that.
Yeah,
well,
I do
don't know which. It wasn't green eggs and ham, but
it was.
But it's something.
I cut the head off the Hydra.
Cut the head off the Hydra.
I remember that book.
Remember that?
I cut the head. You cut the head off the Hydra. Right. The Hydra is still there.
Right.
Green head, blue head, red head, yellow head.
So, but I mean,
well, listen.
What's the best course of action?
Listen, you gotta enforce the law. To me, and so what they did with Backpage is the right approach. The problem is just that the internet is so untamable. And it's not just people inside the United States. I think they have some of the biggest problems they have are, you know, traffickers from other countries, you know, or, you know, pornographers from other countries. And how do you enforce American law? You can't. You can't enforce American law on Russians. You know, or people from, you know, Bulgaria, you know. So this is, you got to do what you can, but this whole concept of 1,000 replacing the one, that's just the world in which we live. And I don't, you know, unless people decide to go off just completely offline, you're not going to be able to escape it.
Good enough.
Well, I'm just saying, so the government did the right thing in shutting down that one web page. But you can't not do it because they're breaking the law.
Very well. I think we'll call you, Ed, when we need more advice like that.
No, anytime, anytime you need some sage advice.
You know, can I interject one story before we move on to the next one? Jeff Flake, the retiring senator from Arizona.
Yes.
He is blocking votes on a lot of President Trump's judicial appointments, Supreme Court.
He promised to block every one of them.
Because he can't get a vote in the Senate on a bill where the Senate would say President Trump cannot fire Robert Mueller, the special prosecutor.
Right.
Anyway, I just bring that up because thank goodness this guy is leaving.
Yeah.
He's leaving, but he got replaced by a Democrat.
But in the recent election, we did pick up. So,
or did he get replaced? Yes, he did. John Kyle, the Republican, replaced John McCain.
John McCain,
who deceased, obviously. But anyway, it's just like President Trump. We got 15, a lot of judges, federal judges, that are ready to be confirmed by Chuck Grassley and the Republicans, and Jeff Flake's having a little temper tantrum there.
Yeah.
And Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, to his credit, he said, look, the president's not going to fire. There's two issues there. The president's not going to fire Robert Mueller, or he would have done it already.
Right.
Okay. And number two, there is a separation of powers issues here because the Constitution allows the president to fire Robert Mueller if he wants to.
Right.
Now, he'll have political fallout to deal with because of it, but that doesn't take away his right to fire
someone in the executive branch.
Yes. Yes, so Jeff Flake's wanting to, the senator from Arizona, is wanting to take away the power of the executive, the constitutional power of the executive branch, that is the president, to do his job.
Right.
But he's blocking all these great federal judge appointments over that.
Yeah, but you know, Tim.
Jeff Flake.
President Trump is the one who's petty in Washington.
Right.
He's the petty one.
Point well taken.
Yeah.
Point well taken. Jeff Flake, the senator from
Nothing
Arizona.
Nothing petty about what he's doing.
Well, he just acting like a...
Mike Pence has been on call because he's had to come in and break some ties with these judges because there's right now it's 51-49, and if one Republican...
I would like to ask Jeff Flake, you know, the old expression, come on, man.
Yeah.
You're telling me all these great judges that could protect our freedoms and change the courts, you're going to block them all over your insistence that your fellow senators... vote on a bill that may in fact be unconstitutional?
Right.
That's to your point, Ed, who's petty now?
Yeah.
Jeff Flake, the senator from Arizona.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, next story.
It'll be a little easier for them when they get next year because they'll have a couple seats to
The Republicans in January will take a 53-47, which is a 1 a two-vote increase over what they've had this year.
All right. There are many reasons why it's improper and unwise for teenagers and young people to have kids. This is another one. It's well down the list of reasons why, but teenagers don't know how to name their kids. We have a Southwest airline gate attendant at John Wayne Airport in Southern California. He's accused of being awful in front of a five-year-old girl and on social media. This girl and her mom walk up to the gate. She gives her ticket to the agent, and he starts pointing out, well, it's because the mom named her kid Abcde. It's spelled A-B-C-D-E.
What?
Yes. The mom named her kid Abcde Redford. Redford's the last name.
Abcde.
A-B-C-D-E. That's how she named the child.
That is a lifetime of torment.
Don't you think?
For that kid.
And this was just the first. We hear from the mom, actually. Let's listen to what the mom had to say. This is cut six.
The gate agent started mocking my child's name, laughing, pointing at me and my daughter, talking to other employees. So I turned around and just said, like, hey, I can hear you. So if I can hear you, my daughter can too. Like, I'd appreciate if you just stop. While I was sitting there, she took a picture of my boarding pass and chose to post it on social media, mocking my daughter. It was actually brought to my attention by somebody who had seen it on Facebook and reported it to Southwest Airlines. She asked me, Mom, why is she laughing at my name? And I said, you know, honey, not everybody is nice and not everyone's going to be nice. And, you know, it's unfortunate.
That audio courtesy of ABC7 in Southern California.
Well, I want to, at this moment, turn to the great philosopher Forrest Gump.
Yes.
And say, stupid is as stupid does. Okay? Because that, I mean, you don't name your kid ABCDE. I mean, you can.
Apparently.
But don't complain when people mock it.
You know? And again, it's what I think is a
She
good...
seems shocked.
I know.
She seems shocked that's hard to say. She seemed shocked that people were making fun of that name.
Well, she probably thought it was a cute little joke when she had the child. And I don't know that she was a teen mother. I don't know any of this stuff. But it just seems like something a teen mom would do. And then she's sit around for 5 years looking at this name, and it starts to look normal to you.
Yeah.
And then she acts shocked when...
Abcde.
Abcde. What was the second choice of Walker's name going to be? Was it going to be Abcde?
Abcde, no. You need to go to a dentist, though.
If you got a tooth Abcde.
If you do, you need to go.
That's painful.
That's what I would recommend. I don't remember a backup name.
You don't remember?
No. I mean, you always got the what if it's a boy or girl if you don't know, what the names are. Of course, this was 24 years ago before the whole gender neutral thing started. So I don't know what you'd have to do today.
Pat. Huh? The SNL, SNL character.
Yeah, Gene.
Pat. Gene. Huh? Chris.
Huh?
Chris.
Yeah. I think what throws me is a man named Jan. That really, there are men named Jan.
Yes, that's like Denmark or
Swedish
something.
Norwegian.
It's a very common
Scandinavian.
Jan. It's a very common name.
And usually they're big like Vikings, so you don't want to make fun of them.
I know, but it's still.
Your name's Jan?
When I see J-A-N on a piece of, and then I find out it's a dude.
Or Kim is another name that...
It throws you.
What is?
Kim.
Yeah. Kim.
I've known a couple male
named Kim.
Yeah.
And, all right. Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it. Ed, appreciate your contributions, such that they were.
Yes, sir.
on the program today. Brent Creeley ran the control board for us, and we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Trivia Friday tomorrow. We'll see you then. Take care, everybody.